Psalm 103 tonight. Psalm 103. Psalm 103. The name of the message tonight is God Rules Over All. God Rules Over All. Psalm 103. Let's read this. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfy thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins. What a verse. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Mercy there is loving kindness in the Hebrew. Loving kindness. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. In the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearken unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My. Is this not the cry of each believer? Bless the Lord, O my soul, in all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Oh, my. Oh. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ, he was king before he even came to this earth. He's King of Kings and he's Lord of Lords. And he was ruling and reigning in glory before he even came here. And you know where he is right now? Bless his holy name. You know where he is? He's in heaven right now. And he's ruling and he's reigning over all. Right now. Right this second. He ascended right back to where he came from. He left the glories of heaven to come to this sin-cursed world to redeem his people from their sins. And bless his holy name, he did it. He did it. He did it. He is king right now, ruling and reigning above all in majesty and power right now. The biblical writers proclaim that Christ was king and is king. And he's Lord. He's Lord. He was Lord before he came here. You ever hear people say, well, just make him Lord of your life? Well, sorry, God beat you to it. He's already Lord. He's already Lord. Whether one acknowledges that he's Lord, he's Lord. He's Lord over all. And He was Lord before He came here. And you know, even as a baby infant and growing up, and He was Lord then over all. Oh, He was Lord then. And He's Lord right now in heaven. And David is so full of joy over the fact that the Lord is King. He says, bless His holy name. Bless His holy name. And He's the Lamb. We know that Christ is the prophet, priest, and king of His people, right? We know from the Scriptures that He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, that all redemption's plan, excuse me, was planned and purposed in eternity by God and executed at the time appointed of God. Look at this in verse 19 of this psalm. Look at this. The Lord, and in Hebrew, the Lord there. Anytime you see L-O-R-D like that capitalized, that's Jehovah in the Hebrew. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord, that's Jehovah. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. See the word ruleth there in the Hebrew? It's a verb denoting to rule, to reign, to have dominion over all. So even in the original language, it tells us that He rules over everything. And we see it in English here before us. And one Greek definition I looked up, it said, although its general tone common or communicates leadership and authority, its specific nuance and connotation are derived from the context in which it appears. Now look at the context in which this word appears. Ruleth. The Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. It speaks of His dominion. And see, in the text where it says overall there, that's one word in Hebrew. That's not two words in Hebrew. It's one word in the Hebrew. And it means each, every, all, everything, the whole, entire. It has an inclusive meaning of all. Nothing left out. Nothing left out. So all here means all. He rules over all. He reigns over all. Every molecule, every atom, everything you cannot even see, He rules over it all. And who does it? Well, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Lord. He's the Lord. So we can conclude from this verse of Scripture and many more, that Jehovah, the self-existent one, look at this, He's established His throne in the heavens. His throne is an established throne, a prepared throne. And He sits right now enthroned in glory and in majesty and power. And His name is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's on the same throne as His divine Father. God rules over all. And again, prepared there means established. Established. You know what established means? It means it cannot be moved. So think of this. I like to study history. You know that. And all through history, we see these kingdoms rise. These kingdoms rise up. Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Roman Empire, the Greek Empire. All these empires that have risen. Where are they now? Well, we have a few ruins around, don't we? And people like to visit these ruins, but they're in ruins. These empires are gone. But our Lord's throne is still set, just like it was set in those days, and just like it was set from eternity. It has not ever been moved. And our Lord sits upon the throne right now. The Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, sits on an established, prepared throne. And that throne will never, he will never abdicate that throne. The throne will never be overthrown. He will never abandon the throne. He forever sits upon it. And if you're a saved, born again, blood washed believer, the very one who sits upon that throne is the one who holds you in his hand. One who ever watches over you, knows every single thing you're going through, knows every heartache you're going through, knows every tear you've ever shed. And he's ever watchful, keeping you. You know, I often think back before the Lord saved me. The multiple times I could have destroyed myself just by things I was doing. But the Lord preserved me. He kept me. And every single believer can say that. Because of our recklessness when we were in our youth, things we did. Well, he kept us, didn't he? And you know that even right now as a believer, the believers are kept by the power of God. He was ever watchful over us even before we were saved. Just as much as he's ever watchful over us right now. And the scripture says he knows his people so intimately that the very hairs of their head are numbered. The very hairs of their head. What great love our Lord has for his people. And the very one who sits upon this prepared, established throne is the one who watches over the souls of his people. The ones he purchased with his own precious blood on Calvary's cross. And let us think on this. If there was any part of the world that our great God does not rule over or did not rule over, if there were any circumstances that happened to come by which he could not control, if there were any events which happened without his permission, if he were not king everywhere or over all, then this world would be an unbearable place. It would be an unbearable place. And we give him praise and thanks that, as the scripture says here, his kingdom rules over all. Everything. Everything. Turn, if you would, to the book of Daniel. Turn, if you would, to the book of Daniel. Now, Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. Nebuchadnezzar was a great king. And this man knew what it meant to be a king. He ruled over a vast domain. A vast domain. And he got proud, just like we all do. And he started to say, look what I've built. Look what I've done. And the Lord humbled him. And he was eating grass for a while. He was eating grass for a while. And look at this in Daniel chapter 4. Turn to Daniel chapter 4. Look at this. Look what Nebuchadnezzar now says after the Lord's restored him. Look at this. Daniel chapter 4, starting in verse 30. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built? Look at that. Oh, he's full of self-righteousness, isn't he? I built all this for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty. Oh, he's so full of self-righteousness. And that's what we are in our natural state, isn't it? And when we even struggle with self-righteousness after the Lord saves us, if we're real honest. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. Verse 32, and they shall drive thee from man, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as an oxen. He's eating grass. And seven times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man and give it to whomsoever he will. Look at that. And notice that. Notice in that verse there. Until thou knowest that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of man. Notice that. In light of the verse we looked at to introduce this message. And he giveth to whomsoever he will. Oh my. Look at verse 33 now. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from man and did eat grass as an oxen. And his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hairs were growing like eagle's feathers and nails like bird's claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High. Look at that. And I praised, and now remember, this man who is going to make this statement is a man who knows what it means to be king. He's king over a vast domain on this earth. So he knows what it means to be a king. And look what he says right here about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes into heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever. Who's that? Well, that's Jehovah. Whose dominion, look at this, and he knew, remember, he's a king, so he knows what it means to have a dominion, to have a rule. And he says here, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. Now think about that statement again. Kingdoms have come through generations and have vanished. But his kingdom, the kingdom that he's speaking of here, the kingdom of God, is a kingdom that will never end from generation to generation to generation to generation. It'll never end. He's speaking of the Most High God. And look at this. Now, we humans, we can get a sense of self-importance, can't we? We can. My dear brother in Colorado, he says people sometimes overvalue themselves. It's a dangerous thing to do, to overvalue yourself. You get proud and full of self-righteousness, but here's a verse that just destroys that. Look at this. And all the inhabitants, all of them, and all the inhabitants of earth are reputed as nothing. In his eyes, nothing. We're but animated dust. Nothing. And he doeth according to his will. No one will thwart his will. No matter how man tries, no one will thwart the will of God. No one. And we but get to see God's will unfold, don't we? And God's will be done. Will be done. It says there so clearly. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand. There is no one on this earth that can stay the hand of Almighty God. No one. No one. Now, when I read that, how comforting it is to know
that I'm in his hand. How comforting that is. And I know for you as a believer, it's comfort. It brings us great comfort. This is the one who keeps us. Look at that. No one can even say to him, "What doest thou?" Now they can say to us, "What are you doing?" No one can say that to God. No one. No one. My, oh my. And this is the God of glory. At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, look at this. What a change. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King, capital K, I mean, the King of heaven. All whose works are truth, in his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he's able to abase. Now think of this. You know, I remember reading that those that walk in pride, and oh, how proud we are as humans. Now we still battle with pride even after we're saved. But I want us to think of something. When we're born again by the Holy Spirit of God, God abases our pride, doesn't he? Because he makes us know what we are. Sinners in desperate need of Christ. He abases our pride. Now we're weak. Even after we're saved, we struggle with pride. I don't care. Someone says, "I don't struggle with pride." Well, then you're just lying to yourself, because everyone does. Pride and self-righteousness. We're constantly plagued by sin in this body of death. Constantly. But praise be to God. All our sins are forgiven in Christ. All. It's marvelous. It's wonderful. My, oh my. Let's go to Psalm 115:3. Look what it says here. You know, our God's in the heavens. We don't always understand the things that he does, do we? We don't. Who can know the mind of the Lord? We don't understand the reason things happen the way they do sometimes. We have no understanding of that. But we walk in faith and trust our Lord no matter what comes our way. And look what it says here. And we can rejoice in this, we who are the people of God. But our God is in the heavens. He's right now. And you know what? You know what? Where the head is, the body soon follows, eh? Look at that. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Now bring that home. Scriptures talk about how it pleased God to save us. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's mercy. And that's grace. And our Lord, we've seen so far here, he's a conquering king. He's on the throne. He's conquered all his enemies. And he's conquered our enemies. He's conquered our sin. He's conquered death. Death has no more sting now. If we die, we go home to be with the Lord. Death has no more sting anymore. He's also conquered Satan. He's conquered all our enemies. The believer in Christ acknowledges Christ in all his offices. We acknowledge Christ as king, as prophet, priest, and king. We acknowledge him in all his offices. Well, let's think of him as prophet. He has no rival as prophet, does he? No rival as prophet. Scripture says this, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. And then John, chapter 1, verse 45, says, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. Do you know that in Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge? All of them. Man strive for wisdom in this world and knowledge. Oh, they want so much more knowledge. Now, it's not a bad thing to learn, is it? I never say it would be a bad thing. I remember Brother Henry Mahan saying, it's not a bad thing to get an education. No, it's not bad at all. Do it, get as much as you can. But when man make it an idol, and it becomes a sense of pride, oh my. In Christ are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. You can study Christ in your whole lifetime and you're but going like this. Scratching the surface. Just scratching the surface. And my, I'll tell you what though, if you study Christ like that, it'll fill you with joy. It'll fill you with joy. It will. My, oh my. Scripture declares that lips are as lilies, dropping sweet-smelling myrrh. And as priest, he excels in all who went before him. Other priests had to offer a sacrifice first for their own sin. But our Lord Jesus Christ, he had no sin at all. He's perfect. He's spotless. Scripture declares, even at his death, that he offered himself up without blemish. Perfect. The Lamb of God. Remember, I mentioned it this morning. They put the blood on the lentils, and God said, the death angel come, and he said, when I see that blood, I'll pass over you. My, oh my. What mercy and what grace. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 7. Oh, what a merciful high priest our God is. Now, other priests could not continue by reason of death. But our Lord Jesus Christ has no successor. None. He is a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews chapter 7. His priesthood is perpetual. It's never ending. Remember, he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The prophets wrote of him. Hebrews chapter 7, the scripture declares this in verses 21 to 25. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him that said unto him, The Lord swear and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. So those other high priests died. But our King is an everlasting high priest. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Look at the hope that the sinner finds in verse 25. I'm talking lost sinner or saved sinner. My, what hope is here? You know, for the saved sinner, what great joy we can see here. And for the lost sinner who's burdened over by his sins, what great joy they can find here if the Holy Spirit's drawing them to Christ. Look at this. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. My, what a great Savior. And our great high priest has gone on our behalf into the very presence of God. He's in the presence of God right now, is the mediator of his people right now.
My.
And as king, Jesus has no equal. No equal. The scepter belongs to him by eternal right. He is king by birth. Scriptures declare, where is he born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east, and we are and are come to worship him. Matthew 2:2. And he continues to be king. He's king forever. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus Christ is often called Lord, Master, Governor, Ruler, Shepherd, Prince, Prince of Peace, Savior, the Great Prince, the Prince of Life, the Prince of Peace, the Prince of Princes, the Prince of the Kings of the Earth, a King, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. Turn, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we'll see this title used here. Look at this. Oh, he's king. And he's king forever. And what hope and strength that gives God's people in the midst of all the turmoil of this world, amidst the heartache in our life. Look at this, 1 Timothy chapter 6. That thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 14. Verse 15. Which in his times he shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who only hath immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. So he's the prophet of prophets, and he's the king of kings. And he's the high priest. He's the only one fit to hold the office of high priest. Every fiber of his nature is kingly. And he's king through conquest. Again, every foe is vanquished. He's entered into heaven, triumph. He's triumphed over his enemies. He's triumphantly entered into heaven. Turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 2. What a wonderful portion of Scripture here. What an absolutely wonderful portion of Scripture here. All Scripture is wonderful, isn't it, for the believer? Look at this. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 to 15. And you, being dead in your sins. Now, we looked at that today, that the Lord saw us in our low estate. There's our estate, dead in sins. There's our natural state, dead in sins. And you. And remember, Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, who have had Gnostics enter in, and told them, well, there's angels in order, and that these are different mediators. And Paul says, no, there's one mediator, only one. And he just brings Christ before his hearers. Look what he says, though. And you, this is our natural state, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh. Look at this. Now here we see the believer born again. Hath he quickened together with him. Born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now look at these words here. Having forgiven you one of your trespasses. Some of your trespasses, praise be to God, it says all your trespasses. Isn't that wonderful? It's a full salvation. It's a full salvation. You've heard me say this before, I'm going to say it again. I remember running into people all the time, and they used to say, well, Wayne, I can understand how you can say that God forgives my past sins and how God's forgiven my present sins, but well, how can God forgive my future sins? Because every one of our sins was future at Calvary's cross. Wasn't it? Every one. We weren't even born then when he redeemed us with his precious blood, when he saved his people from their sins. And this says that, and you start doubting, just look here, just look in this wonderful portion. having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Now, when we did our study in the book of Colossians, we found out that in the Greek, blotting out there means to whitewash with an anesthetic. It's gone. It's whitewashed. When you whitewash a wall, it's whitewashed. It's gone. It's blotting them out. Not to be seen again. Right. The handwriting of ordinances that was against us. How long would that list be? Those handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Blotted out. Blotted out. Look at this. Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. He paid it all. He paid it all, beloved. Everything that God demanded for if you're a believer, for your eternal soul, and for my eternal soul, Christ paid it all. That's why he cried. And remember who cried? God incarnate in the flesh. It is finished. Work is done. Praise God. That's why we say, bless his holy name. My. And then Revelation says that we sing a new song. We're not waiting to get to heaven to sing that song. We sing it right now, we who are the born-again, blood-washed people of God. Glory to your name, Lord. Thou hast washed us. Thou hast washed us from our sins. Thou hast redeemed us with thy precious blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. It has made us God, made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall be in glory with him forever because of what he's done. My. And our Lord Jesus Christ, we looked at last Sunday, he ascended up into heaven, didn't he? And he sits right now at the throne of glory. Right now. Turn, if you would, to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Oh, the Son quickens whom he wills. He reveals himself to whom he wills. And Christ as prophet reveals salvation, reveals the Father. Salvation is revealed in Christ. Look at this in Acts chapter 2, verses 32 to 36. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. See, God made him Lord. God made him Lord. My. And Christ as priest purchases the salvation of his people with his own precious blood. He gave his life for his people. And he sat down right now on the throne in glory, a reigning king. Reigning king. Scripture says that he delivered us from the power of darkness. It's him who did it. It's Christ who did it for his people. And that translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We're born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Then it goes on to say, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And we know It says the forgiveness of sins there in Colossians 1:14. Well, we know what we just read over in Colossians chapter 2. That's all our sins. That's them all.
And our Lord, when it pleased God, He called us by His grace. He calls His people by His grace, and He reveals His Son in us. And Paul said, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace to reveal His Son in me, that I might preach Him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." Salvation's of the Lord. Salvation's of the Lord in its planning. Salvation's of its Lord in its of the Lord in its execution. It pleased God to bruise Christ. It pleased the Father to bruise Christ. My. But it's all was purposed and planned by God in eternity. And salvation is not only of the Lord in its planning, in its execution, but also in its sustaining power and in its application. You believe if you're a child of God because God has manifested Christ to you. And because God has opened your heart. Because God has regenerated you. And only because of what He's done. And you see Christ because God's opened up your eyes, just like I. Just like He did for me. We hear because God has opened up our ears. And we're made alive in Christ by the God's regenerating power because God pleased God to do so. Christ is King in all aspects. And always remember this, if you're a child of God, that Christ is King in our salvation. He's King. We are but receivers of the mercy and grace of God. Undeserving receivers. We have no merit in us to deserve this wondrous salvation in Christ. We cannot earn it. But praise be to God, it is freely given to His people. Why? Well, what did we look at this morning? Because His mercy endureth forever. And we are to remember that, aren't we? Like I mentioned this morning. And each time the gospel is preached and proclaimed, we remember that. Let us remember that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. He does not change. He is King and He's always been King. And if He's your prophet now, He's always been your prophet. If He's your priest and King now, then He's always been your priest and King. If He's our surety now, then He's always been our surety. Well, how can you say that? Because He's the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world for His people. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same today in world history. Think of all the history of this world. 6,000 years that we know. He was the same at the beginning. And God created the heavens and the earth. He's the same. He's the same when He came down from glory to save His people from their sins. He's the same right now, and He will be the same in glory forever. He doesn't change. He never changes. Never. He's King over all. And this kingdom, this rule that He has, is an everlasting rule. He's Creator over all. He's Lord over all. For by Him,
Christ, where all things created, that are in the heavens and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, for his glory. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We consist by the mercy of God. By him all things consist. What sort of king is Christ? Well, he's an everlasting king. His goings forth have been from old, from everlasting. He's a wise king, which is one of his names in Proverbs is wisdom. He's a just king. Well, he preserves his people and he justly punishes the wicked. He's just and right. He does not regard rich more than poor. He's no respecter of persons. Scepter of righteousness is the scepter of his kingdom. And Christ is an almighty king. Nothing's too hard for him. Just ask one of his sheep. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And we say, nope, nothing. Nothing too hard for my king. Nothing. And you know what? None can resist him. We saw that, right? Man tries to do their thing. And none can resist God Almighty. None. He's the Lord mighty in battle. He's the Almighty. He's the Lord omnipotent. And he reigns. He reigns. Jesus is gentle, tender, merciful, a condescending king, the King of Kings, the King of Glory. And he became a man and he died on Calvary's cross for his people as their substitute before God's law and justice. And do you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ is a king of inexhaustible resources. Because in him are all spiritual blessings for every believer of all the ages. Of all the ages. And he's prophet, he's priest, and he's king. I want us to turn to Romans chapter 8. I was talking to a dear brother yesterday. And I said, I want to show you a portion of scripture that I live in as a believer. Knowing that my Lord reigns. Knowing that he is the King of Kings. And knowing that he is the Lord of Lords. I live in this passage. Knowing that his kingdom shall never end and that he reigns. Romans 8:31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Now you can look at me and you can find a lot of fault in me. And I can look at you and I can find a lot of fault in you. Right? But the believer can look at this verse and say, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth me. It's God that justifieth me. Then look, it goes on. This is wonderful. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He makes intercession for his people. Right now. And who can bring any charge against God's elect? God's people are justified by Christ. Hallelujah. Is it any wonder then that we cry out with the psalmist again, bless his holy name. Bless his holy name. He's so good. He's so wonderful. Praise his mighty name. And then lastly, just look at Romans 8:1. Look at this. Oh, my. Oh, my.
It's a mountaintop scripture right here. We're closed with this verse right here. And closing with this, give of all glory and honor and praise to the Lord. Look at this. There is therefore now no condemnation. Now in the Greek, that means judgment. There are no judgment. No condemnation. To them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The very one who makes those words just honey to the soul of the believer is the very one who rules and reigns right now in majesty. And if you're a believer, take great comfort. He has you right here. Right here in his hand. And he says, I'll no way wise cast you away. Praise his mighty name. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your mercy, we who are your people, and your grace. Oh Lord, these scriptures are such a comfort to our hearts as believers. Make us want to shout for joy and bless your holy name along with David. Cause us to remember what we've looked at today, this week. Cause we who are your people, in the busyness of our days and the week, to remember your mercy. To remember that your mercy endures forever. To remember that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. To remember that your throne is an everlasting throne in an everlasting dominion. Praise your name. We love you again because you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.